What up, what up, what up? Welcome to yet another episode of 26 Degrees Miami Hurricanes Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at the Roll Up Network. I'm your humble host, Larian, kicking in with my co-host, Meezy. Meezy, say what's up to the people.
Man, what's up, man? What's up, world? Another episode coming at you this week, North Carolina week, man. Yeah, we ready to get to it as normal.
No doubt, no doubt, man. And of course, Field General himself, the man in the streets, Green Tree aficionado. What's up, X?
What's good? What's good, people?
Cooling, man, cooling. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to go ahead and get this chopped up and dropped in the morning. So by the time this drops, it'll be X's birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday to the real Field General, man.
Glad to be another older man, and life is good, man.
No matter. Ain't that crazy, right? Like, how are you about to be tomorrow?
I'll be 39.
39, right? And I'm 41. And it's crazy. Like, remember when you was younger, you wanted to get to like a number, right? But then you want to freeze. And now getting older. And it's like, bro, like, it's kind of dope getting older. Like, the only thing I hate about getting older is watching some of your loved ones fade away and the body pain. You get rid of the body pain, then I'll be all right. Other than that, though, it's like, bro, it's dope watching, I don't even have kids, but watching my friends' kids grow up, kids I've known since they was in the stomach. You know what I mean? It's like, man, you 15 now? Boy, that's crazy. So that's dope, man.
Yeah,
so,
my birthday actually next week, Monday.
Really?
Yeah, my birthday next week, Monday. I'll be 31.
Young buck.
Yeah, I don't mind getting older, though. I actually embrace it, though. I don't mind getting older, man. I never mind it getting
it's
older.
A beautiful thing. It really is.
But look how he's saying it. Like, because when we was young, I know everybody used to make the jokes about, man, you old. Get your old. You know what I'm saying? Now you getting old. You're like, whoa, them young jokes ain't sitting
you
right.
No, no. Yeah, you don't even know.
I'm telling you.
When the young cats like at the gig mess with me or something, I'd be like, "Boy, you be blessed to see my age." You know what I'm saying? You better you talk about I'm old, but I ain't 41. You'll be blessed to see 41, man.
Yeah, man.
And many more after that. So
yeah, a lot of people don't make it, man.
40, boy. Once you hit 40, you be like, man, God bless me for real.
Real.
That age no more.
Yeah, I work in the school system, so I've had students, man. I've had students pass away in my classroom. So, like, even seeing that, I'm like, man, like,
life is
people
short.
Out here ain't even making it to 10, 11, 15 and stuff, man.
Life is short, man. Cherish it, man. You got to soak it all in. You know, I've had peers of mine, especially with this COVID thing going on, peers of mine that ain't here to see, hear my show or go get a drink with me or kick it in, let's go just hang out or whatever. So, yeah, once again, happy birthday to you, man. We're gonna kind of get into the meat of the docket. I don't know what. Well, we can, we usually do a little weekend recap. We can do that real quick. I can tell you right now, I ain't did shit. The best part of it was the Canes wasn't on TV to lose, so I didn't have to deal with that shit. I was like, all right, cool, nice and relaxed. My Niners did lose again. God, we got to get some cornerback help, man. Got to get some cornerback help. So I basically, man, all weekend, I didn't even work Friday this week. Man, I was on chill mode, ultra, just nothingness. Like, yo, don't bother me. I ain't leave the house again till Sunday. And that's because a friend hit me up, like, yo, come grab a drink at the bar. And I was like, yeah, all right. I blew you off last time, so I'm going to come hang. But, Meezy, how was your weekend, bro?
Man, my weekend was good, man. We actually had Monday off, too, for Columbus Day. Well, it's not Columbus Day. It's, I forget how to say the
word.
They
say Indigenous?
Indigenous Day. So I had Monday off, but
I respect that, though. I like they did that, though.
Yeah, me too, man. About time. But anyway.
About time.
Yeah, I was cooling this weekend, man. Watched a lot of football. Just vibing, relaxing, man. Like you said, didn't have to watch a Miami game. Wasn't stressing about that. So I was chilling, man. Just watching a whole bunch of games, scouting. My Bucks won again, per usual. Beat up on them Dolphins down there.
Hey, it's good to have a winner. I'm a Red Sox fan. Actually, that's the hat I'm wearing now.
I mean, I'm a Rays fan. I didn't know you was a Red Sox fan.
I know.
I about wanted to cry last night, man.
I love my Rays.
I
seen y'all, boy. And I seen my boy. Shout out Kenny, man. Kenny fought with us too, man. Kenny was like, he's like, man, I'm an old Larry $20. Like, yes, sir, you are. Man.
I met Kenny on Twitter like recently. He be hitting me up because I guess he a Bucks fan too, Rays fan.
Yeah, I think he's in Tampa. Yeah, I think he's okay. In the area.
Yeah, he be hitting me up, man. He said I might as well give Larry on the dub right now, man. But
man, well, you know what's funny? What's funny is since you touched on that real quick.
Shout out to Kenny, man, too, man. Shout out to
him. Yeah, no doubt. Shout out Kenny. Because the first game, like when y'all jumped out 5-0, I was like, all right, man, fuck this shit. I'll turn it off. And next thing you know, my boy texts me and he was like, y'all tied it up. I was like, all right, turn it back on.
No, that was the second game.
Yeah, second game.
We hit that grand slam. I was like, hey, we might sweep these boys. Next thing you know, we ain't won since.
And then I said, so if my boy texts me, because I text the group chat, my little baseball group chat, I was like, all right, I put turn Red Sox game off, and they was laughing and shit. And then they hit me in the group chat like, yo, you know y'all tied it, right? I was like, turn Red Sox game back on. And then we jumped out, you know, in that last game 5-0. I was like, nah, I seen this movie before. But shout out to Rays, man. Great season this year, man. Y'all did y'all thing.
Yeah, I don't even know if we're going to be in Tampa next, boys. It's the Tampa Rays, y'all, but that stadium is not in Tampa. That's in St. Petersburg. And if you know that area, it's about an hour, 45 minutes from Tampa. But they talking about we might go to Montreal half the season now. So
what?
Yeah, that's, man, crazy. Yeah.
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see, yeah, man.
But, yeah, shout out. Great year. Great season. Won a division, but then went what really mattered. You know what I mean? Here we are. We'll take care of business, baby. Don't worry about it. We got the division. We put the Yankees out, put y'all out. Now we just take care of business, man. It's all good.
Yeah, them Astros gonna be ready though.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. don't jump on their team now. Anyways, all right. X, how was your weekend, bro?
Man, like just like you, man. My weekend was peaceful, man. No Canes football to even upset my spirit. There's a lot of good football, but man, this past week was a lot of good football on TV, man. So I enjoyed watching it. I went to Tootsie's, of course.
That's something I don't know about X, but I see him talk about it all the time, right? X, I think they like, you've got like a seat reserved in Tootsie's at this point, dog.
Yeah, I do, man.
Yeah.
Right. A bunch of people, they joke about it, but I like literally, like when I go in there, they be like, man, we ready, we waiting on you, man. I walk up, they got massages for me and all.
It's like Cheers, bro, where everybody knows your name. You can talk all shit you want to. Yeah. If I could go in any spot, I don't care what it is, Tootsie's or fucking Applebee's, when I walk in there and it's love and they go, yo, man, we got you. Come on. I used to be at a bar so much, a dude was sitting in my seat. And they said, I said, yo, bro, I'm not trying to be funny. I'll buy you a drink, but that's my seat. He said, how is it your seat? Is your name on it? And I said, well, actually, yeah. And they actually made me a little nameplate. The bar ain't open no more. It actually closed down, unfortunately, after a while. It was open a long time. And I had a nameplate on the back of the fucking seat. And he was like, I'll be damned. I said, you good, bro. Here, get your drink. That's how much I was in that bitch, man.
It's funny because I was following X for a long time before we even hopped on the show. It's a blessing. It just happened that we all three on here together. I've been following both of y'all, and now we on a show together, which is crazy. Life crazy like that. But I know X because of Tootsie's. That's Tootsie's. That's a Tootsie's, man. Always at Tootsie's, man.
I like it.
Hennessy
like
and Tootsie's.
You going
for your birthday, X?
Yeah. That and a couple other places, man. You know, I'm going to enjoy myself, man.
That's real.
This weekend, man, a lot of good football. And then I'm a Cowboy fan, so, you know, we won Sunday, of course.
Y'all boys looking all right this year.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, we looking, you know, We're looking all right, man. I ain't gonna get too excited because we are the Cowboys.
It's funny, ask what you say about it was good football last weekend. So I'm watching all the games and I was like, dang, does it be like this every weekend, or does just Miami just be messing up my day and I can't respect the other football that's going on, man?
The Canes, man, like I told you earlier, me, I said, man, this might be one of the roughest football seasons for me personally, because I actually bought into the hype that we could actually mean good. From the numbers standpoint, I say, man, we bringing in 91% of returning players back. We should really be good. You know what I'm saying?
Not even your fault, Dex. The whole world thought that. I mean, it ain't even your fault. It's football. That's what happens when you bring all that talent back.
And that's exactly the point I brought up on No Cap. Fuck Silk. He was trying to be acting like I just brought it up. Like, they always try to act like I make the narratives for Miami. I said, no, bro. Like, I'm not the one that only one that said Miami should have a good season. No one was crowning us national champions. Not even ACC champs. They were saying we should win the Coastal and maybe lose or probably lose to Clemson. Now, Clemson surprised people by being shitty. But the expectation for this Miami team wasn't just on us, the fans. The national media thought, hey, this should be a good team. Yeah. That's the fact.
10 wins. They should win 10 games. Because they basically said they'll lose 2 games. We lost one of the games that they had us supposed to lose already. Now we got North Carolina this weekend. That's the second game they had they got us lose. So it's like, but we're 2-3. So hold on.
And it's the worst we ever seen the ACC, and we still might not even win 6 games, which is crazy, man.
Hey, man, it is what it is, man. Like I say, I'm going to just enjoy the rest of the season, man. Enjoy the tailgates we be doing and get back to the drawing board, man. I guess I'm more of a fan of the high schools. The high school games, I enjoy them games a lot more, too. I'm like, man, at least they fun, but it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely, man. So I guess we'll get into the meat of the docket. I guess we'll start off with the news of De'Aaron King. So essentially, what we found out was De'Aaron King, which is what the buzz was. Anyways, the buzz was De'Aaron was probably gonna have to get shut down for the year. I think they were keeping it private, and I respect that. You're trying to not put his information out there if you don't have to, but, the buzz was already that. Let me start personally with saying I'm gonna give him a salute to De'Aaron King. He came to a program when he did have some other options that may have looked a little better at the time. LSU was a real option for him.
Texas, I think, too.
I believe Texas was an option. He had some legit options. He came down to Miami. He immediately improved the quarterback room. I do definitely think he had an impact on the culture of the team as far as bringing an energy of just trying to be competitive and win week in and week out. I know I even pick on him about it because De'Aaron always looks super cool and calm. Like, I've never seen him mad. And part of me wants to see that sometimes. But, everybody's different. But I want to salute him for what he did bring. We definitely wouldn't have won the 8 games we won last year without him. So you can't short him that. But, so here we are now. Let me get your thoughts on X. De'Aaron, first off, what he's meant to the program, and then a little bit of kind of like, where do we go from here?
What De'Aaron meant to the program is the program hasn't seen a quarterback take that leadership in a long time. And when I mean leadership, I'm talking about going to back Ken Dorsey type leadership. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all ride for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to go out there and give him my all. And not saying some of the quarterbacks after Ken Dorsey didn't do it, but you just could just see it through Derek King, through his actions on the field. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scene that fans, even media, me being media, don't know what they do. But you just know Derek King he gave his all when he was on the field, no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Good or bad, he gave his all. And you got to respect that as a human being, as a fan. The program needed that, you know what I'm saying? Because one of the players going to look at that and say, man, that's how we all got to be. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to try to take that. Once Derek King is gone, I'm going to try to do that. You know what I'm saying? Where we go from here? I mean, obviously we go TBD. And Jake are the future guys, and then you know you got Ja'Cory Brown coming in next year, but as of now, the rest of the season is TBD. You know what I'm saying? We gonna ride on his shoulders, his arm, and I think he's up for the challenge. I can see more confidence every time. Every week is more confidence with him. You know what I'm saying? So maybe he just needed to just get out there, you know what I'm saying? Play and then start getting his confidence. So I think we're in good hands with either quarterback, him, Tyler, or Jake. But, you know, man, it's all love to Derek King, man. He's a class act, man. A wonderful guy, man. Did a lot for the program. Obviously, even through with the NILs, seeing he's the first one to get the deals and stuff like that. So, he did a lot for the University of Miami, man. So I applaud him, man, and wish him a speedy recovery, man, and whatever future endeavors that he's going to do, if he's going to get back to football or whatever else, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be very successful.
Nah, that's real, man. One thing I can say, like, I'll criticize some of the guys we've had around Malik Rozier. Listen, Malik just wasn't a great collegiate quarterback. But at the end of the day, you know, he gave us shots in games. He made some plays. And, you know, being a quarterback, you got to have thick skin and you got to be able to take some of that criticism. Because at the end of the day, I know that kid is doing something I can never do, which is play Division I football. So the jokes will come, the criticism will come. But once I remove all of that, I can honestly say, hey, man, I do respect you at the end of the day. You are an elite-level athlete, and I was never that. I played ball, did my thing out there, but I was never that, and it's fan criticism. So when I take any shots at De'Eric, it's all from a fan perspective. But if I sit in the room with a man-to-man, I guarantee you I'm going to let him know, hey, man, I respect everything you did for the university, for the program in general. I know that you were a level of athlete that I never could have attained to be, and I respect all the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the program. So salute to that. Salute to that. That's funny because I ran into Malik at the Virginia Tech game when we lost, and my boy said, you swing on him? I said, nah, bro, that's just me talking shit. He can't help his limitations. You know, his limitations are his limitations, but I do understand that he is an elite athlete, and he helped us, hey, beat Florida State. He helped us beat Florida State. Bro, big to me. I'm never going to shit on that. So
he beat Florida State twice, didn't he? Or it was just one time?
No. Let's see. He only beat him once. We literally beat him with four straight different
quarterbacks. Four different quarterbacks. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, it was
Perry,
and then De'Aaron. Yep, four different quarterbacks. Year, yep. Yeah. Oh shit, 5 for 5. You just, hey, I love it. I love
about
it. About to be
five.
Y'all know that any Florida State fan listening, you know, so funny they heard me talking the show, right? And it was like, oh man, you know, you sound down. I said, no, we're not gonna have a good year. This is a very bad year. I even predicted us to to lose the next three. And if you look at the little simulator thing, we're expected to lose the next three games. But I told them we still finished 6-6 by cleaning up the last four, which include Georgia Tech, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Duke.
And Duke.
I said, we're still going to win those four. We're going to be re-energized. Manny will be probably let go at 2-6. We'll get an interim head coach. It'll energize the program a little bit. And these kids are going to play to another level. And we're going to end up 6-6, which is a very disappointing year. But the one thing I will never concede is defeat to Florida State. Y'all waiting on that, baby? You hold your breath till you turn blue, you're going to die. Because I'm never conceding defeat to Florida State. You got to do it. You got to do it. I'm never giving them that. So that is what that is. I'm never giving y'all that. Live with it.
I'm with you, man. We is definitely not losing that game.
I can't. Beat us. Beat us. And when you do, all right, then you won. But
I can't hardly stand Diaz. But the way Diaz plays against Florida State, man, if he could do that every game, we'll be a good football team. But
in all honesty, Measy, I really don't think he's going to be the coach for that game. I really don't. I don't think so neither. I said it before I saw the projections. We're projected to lose the next three. That is a real life projection.
But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe
they'll flip it. But then we'll have Manny again. I just don't know if he's the guy anymore. When we started the season, remember we asked the question on the show, and I gave him a vote of confidence. And you definitely was like, And now I'm like, X was right. X was right. At this point, even if
some miracle happened and we happen to clean up the season, man, and end on a positive note, I think it's too much going on for him to keep his job.
Man, I tell you what, if we somehow pull off the Coastal, he's definitely got his job next year.
I don't think so. I still don't think so.
Mm.
Just because how bad the Coastal, just how bad the ACC is.
ACC's really bad.
It's horrible. But. And it's been horrible before, but this is horrible.
I think it's a lot that's going on that's I think his job and Blake James' job are definitely like the hot seat is already lit, like with extreme gasoline. So it's too much going on.
That's what I'm saying. I don't care if we do win the Coastal and go to ACC championship game.
It gotta be a real miracle where we win the ACC championship and win the bowl game and they be like, yeah, we're gonna give him another year, but
yeah, yeah, I think he's done.
You know what I'm saying? How rare or how lucky would we have to be to do that? So, but I just think it's too much going on, man. But back to the Derrick King, man. I'm happy that the program got that. You know what I'm saying? Because we haven't had that in a long time, not offensively.
So. Right, and I think he elevated the room in general. I think he set the tone for how quarterbacks should prepare because, you know, we had Kosi. I don't think Kosi really got it until De'Arik got there. And shout out Kosi. Kosi hooping. I love what Kosi doing because I definitely thought Kosi had the talent. And
he almost threw up to you after scoring. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if y'all saw it. He went into the end zone about to throw. He definitely did though.
But you know, well, he forever tatted with the U, and he forever came. You know, we ain't never gonna throw Kosi out. Kosi has some maturing to do, and I think a big part of helping them do that was Jaren getting the job, knowing Jaren was a knucklehead, and then De'Arik coming in and getting the job. So I think that helped him mature to a level that helped him to play where he's playing now at FAU. So shout out Kosi, man. I've always been a Kosi fan, and I've never really dumped on the kid because I always thought he had the arm talent. He just need to get a little more. He just need to grow a little bit.
I think he got a bad rap with them coordinators we had too, though, man. Like,
well, I mean, it's that and some antics, and you know,
the antics. Yeah, you're right. I think
him having a daughter and him being supplanted as a starter by people younger than him, and a guy coming in from outside of the program, help them really grow. So I think the coach would be saying that FAU is the coach we deserved, and I wish he was here with us. But I also salute, you know, his journey and wish the best for him. So what he's doing out there is amazing, man. I really knew he had it in him, and I hope he has a shot to get to the next level and maybe do his thing there.
Yeah. I'm going to get my two cents on King real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like what kind of like what X was saying, man. Both of you are actually, King's a warrior, man. He's a warrior of warriors. Like, if you go in a war, you want King on your team, man. He gave us one of our best years we had in a long time last year. Even though we didn't go to the ACC championship game, it was 8-3, especially with like a turbulent season like we had last year. To me, his best performance was the North Carolina State game. 300 passing yards, 100 something rushing yards, brought us back in that game. He brought the standard Miami was used to in the past with quarterbacks, not wanting to lose, doing everything you can. He brought an attitude to our team we haven't had in a while. I mean, but life is life. This year, the chips didn't fall in his favor. Well, I don't want to say the chips didn't fall in his favor because King made a lot of good money with the NIL. He was one of the main players in college football who was advocating the NIL and was taking charge, taking the lead and everything. I remember when the state of Florida tried. Go ahead.
No. I was going to let you finish. I was going to say, but you honestly still have to consider, man, he doesn't get the shoulder injury. De'Eric, one of the reasons he got the NIL is because he was the Heisman favorite. Again, not something that we made up as a fan base. That's what the expectation was, that they would build upon last season. Mm-hmm. So I just want to throw that in real quick. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, he came back from injury. Even if he wasn't ready, man, he came back from injury, man. He's just a warrior. I don't have any knock on King, man. King did real good at Miami for the program. Even the program as a whole, he brought a lot of attention to Miami. King's the type of football player you're not going to catch him doing any wrong. He's just a very mature guy. I know he's older than a lot of players, but he's always been like that. He's just a mature soul, has a good soul, good personality, cares about his players. When he got here, makes other players work harder. I think he made the whole quarterback room more mature and everything. But like I said, the chips didn't fall in his favor this year. He got hurt with a shoulder injury and everything, and he didn't want to come out the game, man. He's a warrior, like I keep saying, so I have no knock on King. I love that he came to Miami. I love he came to Miami. I'll forever love King. And I do feel like King, he went to Houston for, three, four years. But I feel like Derrick King is going to feel he's always going to be a Hurricane. He's always going to be in that brotherhood. You know, I can see King coming back to Miami, helping out in the future and everything. I think he's going to have a successful career in whatever he chooses to do. But those are my sentiments on King, man. Hate it happened like it did, but life is life, man.
Yeah, I think De'Eric will end up on the sidelines with us. I think he's the kind of guy, his involvement is not going to go away. He's right. The kind of guy that he's going to be coaching up TVD. And hopefully we'll get Garcia back in a few weeks. I think they said.
Maybe the spring game was an indication of that. Remember, he was actually on the sideline calling plays.
I think me and my boy talk about it all the time. Shout out my boy Will. He listen. He's a huge Kane fan too. We think he's going to be like a brilliant coach at some point. I think De'Eric's going to end up with a clipboard and end up being a guy because I think he can get guys to buy in. I think he understands offenses. And, you know, that happens a lot of time. People fail to realize, you know, some of the greatest athletes out there aren't limited by physical limitations, right? But they can't be great coaches because they don't have the limitations. So Michael Jordan can't understand why you can't just jump over that dude.
I think Michael Jordan would be a horrible coach.
Right, exactly. He'll be a horrible coach, right? However, a guy like De'Eric King, who had his limitations, can be a great coach because they can see it from a guy. They can just see the game, and they can coach the game. So, therefore, they can draw things up that if you get a superb athlete, oh man, watch out. But those guys were solid athletes, good athletes. Who's the you probably know this, X, who's the OC for Dallas? He was a great college QB.
Oh, Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore, yeah.
Kellen Moore.
Yeah, exactly, right? Didn't make it in the leagues. But, hey, he has a mind. He just has physical limitations. And that's honestly where I think De'Aaron King could ultimately end up.
I mean, how many legendary players in any sport have actually been good coaches?
It doesn't work out that way.
They judge too hard. Like, you can't do what I did.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, why aren't you just –
Yeah.
It might be a couple, but you know what I'm saying?
It's rare.
Right.
Oh, it's super rare. I mean, look at Nick Saban. Nick Saban was a safety at Toledo? I mean, that was
it's rare. You're not going to get the superstar. Maybe they were good, but they're not the superstar. Like, I'm thinking like maybe only I can think of is what, Larry Bird, maybe?
Right. And
he had his limitations still being ahead, because he went into actually being a GM after that. Like, I could see the legendary dudes being GMs, but coaching, like leading the team, I don't know, man. It's different.
That's the only reason I don't want Ed Reed to be our head coach. It's because I'm like, people go, oh, Ed. I go, Ed's too good at football. He was too good. Well, I don't need a guy that good at football.
I think the thing with Ed is his mind, because they're basically saying he has too much knowledge in his head to not be a coach. You know what I'm saying? So
I'd give him a shot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'd give Ed a shot at this point, especially what we dealing with. If they said tomorrow Ed was the coach, I go, fuck it. We'll roll.
I mean, from besides Mark Reed, our last three hires, Larry Coker, Randy Shannon, Al Golden, well, four, and Diaz. I mean, you got no head coaching experience, so why not? You
know, right. Give it a go. Give it a go.
I know one thing Ed will do. He will motivate the kids. Like, he's not finna not be motivated around Ed Reed. So
no doubt.
It reminds me of Peyton Manning, kind of. If Peyton wanted to start coaching, I think Peyton might pull it off because
No. I think Peyton Manning, I think he would be a horrible coach, man.
Too smart.
Peyton Manning's mind is so good. Remember what Laron said? Jordan will be like, why you can't just, I'll jump him. Manning's going to be like.
The only reason I mentioned Manning was because he comes from a lineage of quarterbacks and everything.
Maybe like Eli. Maybe Eli or something. But Peyton might be too.
His mind is
too advanced for him to coach somebody who can do something that he can
translate.
I think Peyton and Ed Reed the same. Like, Ed Reed might be the smartest Ed Reed might be the smartest defensive player of all time. Peyton might be the smartest offensive player on time. That's the only reason I said that. I just tried to compare them.
You might have a point there. I know for a fact, because I played quarterback and I watched Peyton Manning, and I'm like, man, the things that Peyton Manning think about, normal quarterbacks ain't thinking.
Peyton said himself, Ed Reed used to outsmart him. Peyton said Ed Reed used to run a wrong coverage just two quarters in a row just to get him in that fourth quarter. So that's the only reason. I understand what y'all saying.
I agree with you. I see both sides of it. I think they're both similar. Let's move on a little bit. We'll get into the recruiting world a little bit for us, which is super silent. I know Canes fans feel this pain, man. We are just, we're not doing anything.
We're not doing nothing. Right.
Nothing on the trail.
About to commit to Florida tomorrow, Jaden Gibson.
Definitely.
You think Jaden going to pop to Florida? Okay, so hold on.
Jaden gone.
Real quick. All right, so we'll get into it. I want to start with the decommitment of Fagans. Tre'Quan Fagans was a guy we got out of Alabama that I honestly always thought was kind of waiting on Bama to sniff around a little bit. He went to Alabama game on a visit with his younger brother. His younger brother is a top prospect, I think, at the 24. Okay. I wasn't 100%. Okay. So his brother's another talented athlete. And so he went there and I went, yeah, but I'm telling you, bro, he's from Bama and he's having a great year by all accounts. So
yeah, the fans tried to say, "Oh, that was because his brother." I think that was a Bama Ole Miss game. That was because his brother. Was Bama and I was Ole like, Miss. "Man, if y'all don't tighten up,
well, he tagged along for sure." But I guarantee you, part of that whole visit for them was the fact that Traquan's having a great year. So now, a hometown kid, 4-star kid, I think a top 100 kid that they didn't jump in on, and Bama don't got to do that. They got the luxury of taking their time. We don't have that. I think they're kind of putting in his ear a little bit, like, "Hey, man, we're giving you a seat. We're looking to make some room for you." And at the very least,
by them getting them extra scholarships, they're gonna take them.
Right. So exactly. So it's like the room's there. So I definitely expect him to end up there. Another kid that I'm pretty sure is gonna end up leaving us is Graves. Another talented corner.
That's we got the confirmation from him the other day.
You think so? Okay, I'm gonna give you my.
I think it's because of his. I think if it was solely up to Graves, his and ex field general, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think I follow recruiting heavy. I think Graves' mind might be a little more open than his mom's mind. And X, you could piggyback off
Graves,
of that.
Graves right now is a cane. He enjoying his business, man. You know, kids weren't able to visit all last year and the year before. They enjoying their visits.
But the funny thing was, and this is how you know Diaz in a hot water. Diaz had that if you look in, we looking thing. Diaz can't really do that right now because of how we looking.
Well,
you know what I mean?
What's happening, what's going to happen is it's so much talk about what's going on with the program. The coach is going to come back next year. He's going to get fired. You, as a recruit, you're obviously paying attention. So you're unsure of yourself right now. You're unsure of your commitment. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, I want to go to that school, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's really finna happen. And that's what some kids are facing. You know, obviously they do that, you know, every school when the coach is getting, he might be fired. He might, but Chris Graves, I think with the 8 we have, I think we're real solid with. Like Leon said, man, Traquan, we all knew like that could be an iffy thing, man, because for you to be a top cornerback and to leave that state where the best school in the nation is, they want you, you ain't leaving. You know what I'm saying? This is not gonna be a situation where a kid from South Florida, we want you, and they still chose to leave. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you ain't really going to leave from Bama if they really want you. You know, so.
But let me ask you, X, say we were winning this year, and they added more scholarships, which affects a lot of people recruiting because people have more spots. Do you think he still leaves?
I think we could have kept him, man. You know, the way it's not that we lose.
So it's not because it's not because Bama has more scholarships. It's because of what Fegans is seeing, in your opinion.
I mean, obviously, Bama want the brother. So, you know, they're going to push that agenda. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, we're going to offer your brother, too. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, the chances are a lot higher for me to come there now because I offer my brother, too. You know what I'm saying? But like Skeener said, man, it's the way that Alabama plays. You know what I'm saying? You don't. Why wouldn't you go to Alabama? You know, look at the way you want playing. Why would I go there?
Right. And I mean, you know, the thing is, and this kind of been plaguing us for years. If you look at most games that we play, even in the losses, we rarely took ass whoopings. Ass whoopings are kind of rare for UM. We take a lot of heartbreak losses. But it's
good
just
point.
Like,
good point, Al.
Man, why can't we get over the hump? We usually take one solid just thumping, you know, like North Carolina last year, like Clemson when Golden got fired. But for the most part, even now, Al Golden's whole tenure, he kept us in games, but we just couldn't quite win them. Yeah, and that's the same thing we're experiencing now, you know. But the problem is, from a talent standpoint, we are probably the most underachieving program out there. Maybe only people that are probably worse than us is Tennessee. Tennessee probably does their talent the biggest disservice in the country.
Tennessee,
but we right
Tennessee, kind of trying to turn up a little. Tennessee getting a lot better this year, though.
It's a lot of schools that under.
But hell, Michigan is at least ranked. You know, they do win some games. I agree, they are underachieving.
Okay. When it goes to recruiting, basically everybody's going to have a bigger budget than you want. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? We figure we don't have to have that big budget because we are so fertile with talent in South Florida. You know
and Michigan's so a blue blood. Michigan's a blue blood too, man. But Michigan, like,
they getting the recruits, but they just can't win the big games. It's been like this since 1998, since Charles Wilson left. So it's a lot of underachieving schools. I mean,
yeah, but we up there. Like,
no, we done.
I don't give a put it this way. End of the day, fuck them other schools.
We gotta be number one. We worried about us
and what we ain't doing. We definitely, if we ain't the worst, we're in the bottom.
We top four. Three.
Yeah, it's
we
like
we top three. Easy,
yeah, top
man.
Three of underachievers, and that's a lack of development and getting these guys to the level where they need to be. And that's the bottom line.
We still top 10 in talent in the NFL. And that rings an alarming bell. We top 10 in NFL talent still, and we not winning no darn games.
The other day on the show with Man Street, the man.
I watched it.
And we had 28 players drafted within the last 5 years or something like that. And that leads the ACC. And I was like, well, how the hell is that possible? And we not winning the ACC?
Not even not winning the ACC. Wow. We've gone 7-6 in those seasons, man.
Yeah, we're not even competing.
We're not even
competing. Like, it'd be one thing. I could almost live with it. Let's say we lost to Clemson 3 years in a row. Because Clemson been a powerhouse. God damn it, we can't quite beat Clemson. But boy, when we beat Clemson, we're going to climb that hill, and that's going to be, you know, get over the hump. We don't play for it. We played for it once, got our asses kicked. Wasn't even close. Wasn't a contest. We had no business in that game. So, you know, that's where the criticism of every coach, not just Manny, Golden,
Shanahan. You know,
Shanahan. Yeah, that's been the criticism. Even Coker, when we let Coker let go, we were still bringing in talent, but it wasn't resulting to, you know, wins on the field like it should have. So, you know, here we are. I'm glad y'all feel confident about Graves. I hope you're right. I'm a little shaky. I think he's supposed to double back to Florida pretty soon. So I'm a little shaky there. Do you think?
I heard his mom say if he takes officials, she's not going with him.
Right.
That's how
locked
in she is with Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
I mean, me, I can only go off of what I hear from either them or people on the staff. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, yeah.
So I can say, yeah, he locked in all the way, but then, you know, he's still.
Right. He might be able to persuade mama. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So mama talking that good talk now. And, hey, you know, mama, listen, this is my life. You know, Miami messing up, blah, blah, blah. We don't know. We'll see. Are y'all worried about anybody else on the board?
I got another tidbit came out about
that's
an hour
committed
ago.
Or that's not committed.
That's committed.
Oh, that's committed.
Nah, I think I think the eight that we have are solid.
I heard Rodgers was up in the air, but he tore his ACL, so I don't know about that.
Yeah, we fixed it, right?
I think Rodgers would say it again.
I think Rodgers was locked in no matter what.
We fixed Rodgers' knee, right?
Kamari,
fixed that. Okay, so I mean that buys a little loyalty too. I think he's okay. I think we got him.
Yeah, Ja'Kari solid.
I'm not worried about
who's
Ja'Kari.
The other.
The two receivers.
Abieta, I think Abieta's in. I don't think
Abieta's in.
The linebacker from Texas.
Medlock.
Medlock, he locked in.
Yeah, I've heard Medlock.
I think the eight that we have are solid.
They're in. Yeah. Flip Carswell from Georgia. The tackle.
I think he's solid.
He's a developmental kid. Yeah,
I don't think he has too many options as of now, but I think he's solid.
Right, but I think one of the reasons is he is a developmental kid, and I think he appreciates Miami taking the risk on him.
Right,
so he's a guy that we're going to probably see in 3 years be a starter for us. That's the vision for that kid.
I have some uncommitted notes. It came out about an hour ago.
What you got?
So Malik Igbo, the tackle from Washington, he took his official this past summer, so he can't take another official. He was going to take an unofficial visit this weekend. No, I think next weekend for the North Carolina State game. He's no longer going to do that, so he's going to visit Texas. So I don't know what that kind of means.
I was real confident with him, man, but I lost all my confidence with that.
Yeah, he scratched that off. He's taking an unofficial to Texas now. So, kind of writing on the wall now with that, with the Agbo thing. I did really want him. I thought he was going to be in the class. If we can say that about a lot of players. If he would have performed well, I think he would have been in the class. This is a funny thing, and X, you can speak more on this because you're going to know more. Shamar Stewart is no longer deciding in December. He's going to decide in February. I take that two ways. This is what I think about it. And he might be number one on the board with us, number one, number two, whatever. I think he really wants to come to Miami. I think he pushed it back because he sees the Dane Diaz might get fired. So if we do fire Diaz, by the time he commits in February, we'll have a new coach in place. That's how I'm taking it. So he'll see what we're going to do with that. X, what you think about that? You know more than me.
That's kind of what I've been saying from once he announced that. I said, yeah, that's, you know, he's basically going to sit back and watch what unfolds.
The other way I took it was
he can't come in early anyway. You know what I'm saying? So it don't matter if he signs early or not, because he can't come in early. So,
and the other way I took it was he was so locked into Miami and now he's just changing his mind. So he wants to open up some recruitment, see other schools. I think A&M in the running with him.
It's gonna be, man, which school gonna allow him to play defensive end? He wants to play defensive end, so.
X, what would you put him at? That's a big boy already, man. No, I know what would you tell him, but because coaches do that all the time.
You know what I'm gonna tell him? You ask me what would I put him at? I put him at defensive end. You gonna play defensive end for me.
How big is he already? He's like, what, 280?
About 6'5", maybe 270, 275, maybe.
So he's going to –
I'm talking about all muscle. All muscle.
So he's going to put on more weight. So what's he going to be, 295, 300-pound DN? I mean, you see what I'm trying to say?
He can move.
Move.
He can move, so – I mean, just look at what they've been saying with James Williams. Oh man, he's gonna be big, and they're gonna have to play him at D line or linebacker.
Facts.
He probably move better than every safety we got on our team.
I think it's different on the line though, because your body type on the line.
Yeah, it just tells you what you're gonna be. Right. Well, see, every coach gonna tell that kid if he wanna hear DN, they're gonna tell him DN, right? Then when the minute he get in there, they're gonna start, you know, feeding him, getting him swole up and go, hey, you over there with that group. You know what I mean? That's just recruiting.
And the crazy thing is, it's two recruits that we're going after, similar situation. Shamar Stewart and Anthony Lucas both like want to play defensive end, but both
right.
are too big. Like,
they're going to be, DTs.
I think Lucas really wanted to come to Miami, but because he even took another, he stayed after that. What game was that?
He was at
State.
Michigan State, right? Yeah.
Michigan State, he stayed the Sunday with his family. We kind of ruined it. A lot of these players giving us every chance in the world.
I'm gonna tell you this.
I think the culture fact of being in Miami is gonna kind of win us that one with Anthony Lucas.
That is a hurricane too.
I'm gonna tell you this.
Yeah, went to Miami. So
when it comes to recruiting, right, there's two ways you could pitch it in general, right? When you're a Power Five program. If you're a struggling Power Five program, you pitch playing time. You pitch, hey, you're the fix. That's why Florida State's class been pretty solid, but they are starting to crumble a little bit. And I did bet that boy $100. I was just emotional.
Yeah, they lost
Travis
to Hunter, last week.
That Travis Hunter ain't going to stick, but I might have been a little emotional. I still think he may end up at Georgia, though. I ain't going to hold you.
Travis Hunter, he's all locked in with
that. McCall
might be the one to leave.
McCall,
McCall is the one I've been saying probably won't stick with.
But again, see, that's the thing. You got to remember, we tell my kids, as some of these domino pieces start to fall, some of these kids going to start saying, wait a minute now. I plan on coming in with him, and that'll help fix it, right? So if you're a winning program, your pitch is, man, just come on, be part of this machine. Like, you go to Bama, you're part of the machine. Come on in here, give me 3 years, I'll make you a millionaire. Don't even worry about it. You're going to sit probably two. You're going to play one. I'm going to get you in the league, and you're good to go. Point blank, period. So the pitch for Miami right now has got to be, you are the fix. I need you. And when you get here, because, you know, we talk about this all the time, and this is always one of my biggest gripes, or not even gripes, I would say points of contention. Yes, talent matters. Stars matter. But development matters as well, right? So it's trying to find that healthy balance. Like, you know, me and Silk kind of jokingly go back and forth about the 5-6-1 talent. Well, the 5-6-1 talent we got in Miami sucks. That's just true for the matter. But they'll say, oh, y'all don't develop them. Oh, hey, man, y'all keep blaming us for them sucking. Like, part of football is you playing football. Like, a coach can coach but so much. You know, when the lights is on, when the shots is firing, are you going to make the play or you're not going to make the play?
Exactly.
Some of that is just you, son. So it's always that fine balance. But I tell you this much, Bama ain't the number one team in the country because they just develop so well. They bringing in the best fucking players. Jimmys and Joes. That's the truth of it. You ain't got to develop them so much if they already come in 260 pounds at DN. A 245, 6'4". When you get the Bosa boys, it ain't much you got to do with them. You get them to come to Ohio State and you go, yeah, when they snap the ball, you run and go get the dude with the ball. It ain't that much you got to do. So,
but see, you know, that kind of explains what we were talking about before we went live. I had one more player I want to talk about, but I wanted to mention that we even talking about now, like, say the Bosa brothers or somebody comes to Miami. They first year and a half, they're good, but do they just start adapting to the culture and their talent level decreases at Miami? What y'all think about that? Because I understand what you're saying, L.
No, you're right, and I do think you're right. Absolutely, it's the old adage: steel sharpens steel.
Because like Diaz is saying, we need better recruits. Yeah, they'll come in and start fighting for playing time, but is their play level going to decrease the longer they're at that program?
No, you're right. Culture is very important. That is something you can't ignore, because a championship culture is a part of that steel sharpening steel. So you're right. It can be a toxic culture where you're bringing in kids that do have the talent, but then they get around a culture that isn't conducive to that. And so then you end up taking a talented kid, and instead of them feeling like, okay, for example, Bama is what Miami was, right? So when you look at our great times, you knew, man, stay on your toes because your job isn't safe. Do not get relaxed. But when you come to Miami now, there's definitely a part of seniorism. Well, hey, who they gonna play except me? That does factor in, and that can definitely be a pollutant to your program. I agree.
No, but my last player I want to talk about with me, I don't know if y'all X and L, y'all have some other players to talk about. I get a lot of this from X too, following X and everything, the field general, as we all know. But Wesley Bissain, I think Florida might be kind of trying to turn up the pressure on him. I thought he was all Kane. But a part of me feels like Florida could come in and maybe grab him. What you think, X?
It's another school I'll throw in there with him. Penn State keep an eye out for them guys.
So you're not feeling as comfy as you were with Bassan?
No, I'm just saying keep an eye out on that school with him. In the end, like I said, I still think he's another kid that could come to UM because – I don't think he's going to go that far away from his mother. And I think he feels like he can come in and be an immediately impactful player because he sees him. And yeah, they really don't got linebackers, so I could come in and take somebody's spot like now. So I still mostly confident about Wesley.
Yeah, and I'm starting to see we're starting to do our little reaches now. We offered a safety. I'm from Tampa, so I know it is. We offered a safety from Jesuit High School. Jesuit's a good, very good program in Florida. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We offered a safety, but we're recruiting them as linebacker. There's an under-the-radar offensive lineman. Florida and Miami pretty on him hard, which I wouldn't say that's a big battle because Florida has trouble recruiting O-line as well. So it's kind of like one of those reaches we get late in the cycle. We're recruiting him, but
the one, not the one battle who I think, and this is just crazy to even think we're in this battle is the, you know, the twins, the Henderson twins.
I'm hearing UCF because UCF got one of the close homeboys, I think, who's a linebacker or something. I'm hearing it might be UCF with those two. I'm not really tripping about the safety, I really wanted the corner, Jakari. I really wanted him. I'm starting to hear UCF.
Us losing Traquan, I think that opens us up to take them both now. And I think that's what was kind of holding up because we figured we really want the corner. We don't really need the safety because we have.
We still had Singletary on the board too.
Yeah, Singletary.
So that was another thing.
Do we still have him on the board?
Singletary, yeah.
I mean, is he in?
As long as T-Rob's here,
from the University of Miami, Singletary is going to be on that board.
Yeah, feel like as long as in T-Rob's play. There,
I don't want to say on the board. Yeah, he's supposed
to. I think as long as T-Rob's there, he's in play.
Okay. All right, that's
what's up. The Ohio State thing is dead, though. I don't think he's leaving the South.
It's like Georgia, Florida, UM. Them basically three that might have the chance to get his name on signing day, Georgia and UM being more so of a chance. So,
yeah, he speaks highly of Kirby. I mean, everybody does. I get that. But yeah, that's all I got recruiting, though.
All right.
It's kind of slow right now, but, I mean, we all kind of figured that.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Well, yeah. Well, it's because the plan backfired. I mean, as simple as that. The plan was, hey, we're going to be 4-1 and tell these kids, see, come on in. You know, didn't quite go that way. So that's the whole a dub for themselves. So I want to talk. We ain't even got to get too deep into it. What's y'all thoughts about Gervin last game? Because they're basically expanding James Williams' role. He's proven that he's supposed to be out there. He's supposed to be a guy that getting plenty of snaps. What do you think about Gervin at nickel?
I don't get that. I don't think Gervin can cover one-on-one as good and guarding a slot, and the slot are usually more shiftier than the outside wide receivers. I kind of don't get that. I kind of think that might be Manny just wanting his seniors or veterans on the field. Kind of don't get that, but I mean, what do we get at this point? That's my take on it. I do like, though, they see James has to be on the field more. I get that. I think some of that has to do with Diaz trying to buy time, playing the freshman more. It might be a little excuse. If his job's on the line, okay, we're losing. We're not playing as good because we're playing freshman. But I don't see Gervin being guarding anybody in a slot. That's my opinion.
That, yeah, you kind of echo my sentiment.
He's athletic. Maybe. I don't even want
to. How say athletic that. Is he, though, man? Like, what? Maybe he don't do anything good, man. He don't do anything good. He's athletic, but.
Don't mistake athletic for good football play. There's a lot of athletic guys
Man. Yeah, that's why. That's why I didn't even go keep going because I like him being athletic, but still, like he's still,
right.
still making bad plays. So.
Right, some of your best football players aren't necessarily the most elite athletes. They were just heady guys, like Ray Lewis. The reason Ray was so fast, he was pretty fast. Don't get me wrong, but his speed really came from the fact of his diagnosis. Ray could break a play down quick, see what's coming, and get to where he needed to be. That's why I think you see Gervin struggle the most is, sure, he's an athlete, but, man, he's always out of position. He's always doing the wrong thing.
So I was thinking, why not put
– I think because, you know, Vontae will be back next week.
Right.
So I think they're trying to shake up that secondary. They're trying to put playmakers back there because we need the ball. We need to get turnovers. Gervin Hall hasn't shown that he's able to get turnovers in 4 years.
One pick in 4 years.
It's not enough.
We need playmakers back there, man. So obviously, like I said, I've been saying, I told people once James Williams got to UM, somebody position was getting took, and I don't know why people thought
you said
I was
that. You said that since he committed.
You did.
Absolutely. I was thinking though, why not put like Isaiah? I like Isaiah Dunson. I don't know what's going on in practice and stuff, but like, why not put Dunson or Clark in that slot?
I like Clark in the slot. I do like him.
I was thinking, though, maybe
Clark disappointed me that, like, I'm still mad about that. You dropped the interception.
Yeah, But see,
he hasn't been on the field though. Like, right. He don't have playing time. And I was thinking, the DS just have this thing that he wants three safeties on the field.
So who is Clark going to play above? Because you got Ivy, you got Couch, and you got Stevenson. Who you going to play in front of?
I mean, Ivy, I don't care who play in front of Ivy as of now. That's just me.
you might play in front of Ivy right now.
Right. Tyreek, I like Tyreek. I thought he would do better so far. I like Tyreek. I want to see Isaiah Dunson out there, and it kind of seems them putting Gervin in the slot, they kind of giving up on Couch because he just can't tackle. He's not making any plays.
Yeah, I don't know if they're not giving up on Couch though. Couch is going to definitely be out there, but
not giving up. But as of right now, they got to put their best players on the field. But I don't think Gervin in the slot is putting your best player in that position.
I think they're more so worried about them running the ball, so they putting Gary in that slot so he can make some tackles.
Yeah, I guess I feel you on that.
Well, that is exactly what I agree with too. Is because
all they gonna have Gervin do is blitzing and at slot anyway. So
we're
gonna be running zone, and they're gonna have Gervin coming off that blitz from the outside. Everybody knows it's coming. That's all that's about. What you think, X? That's my take. He's gonna be doing more blitzing and covering in that slot.
Well, one thing,
Josh Downs gonna tear him up in that slot Saturday if Gervin's really covering Josh Downs. I think he's gonna kill Gervin if he's really guarding the slot. That's my take.
One thing I do notice is the staff, certain coaches have been paying attention to the media and the chatter about, well, you know, man, after this game, this could be a certain coach's last game. And it's like, you know, you never know, man. He I don't think Manny Diaz want to go out there and lose to North Carolina bad. Like, you don't want to go out like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll be labeled as, yeah, but it's another coach that got fired, got blown out. You know what I'm saying? So that's why he's like, man, we're going to make every adjustment we can make to not let this happen again.
Well, that's what I've been saying. Because, see, they were trying to argue me down, saying, oh, I thought Miami fans about the youth movement. It's okay. For one, I kind of am. But at two, if I'm Manny, that's the smart money play. If anything I do, I'd much rather lose with the kids.
So do y'all think Gervin in a slot is just for the North Carolina game, basically?
Well, he played the slot last week a lot.
He played safety. Virginia.
He played safety too, but he played a lot of slot last week too. So, I mean, that's just something they've been doing. I don't like it. I like Avante better there because I think Avante is just more skilled and heady of a player all around.
He's going to go through his lumps too, though, because it's going to be his first time.
Because it's been a while off, but I'm saying I think he's more suited.
I think he's more suited.
I think he's more suited to, like, if we're going to run, like, maybe you put Bubba, James, and then you put Avante.
Why not put Kitchens at that slot? Do y'all think that's wrong?
Oh, Bubba?
No, Kitchens.
Over who? Oh, in the slot?
Over Gervin.
I think Cam's like a natural safety, and I think he's just reminds me of Jaquan.
Johnson. At all, unless he's covering the tight end. I don't want Cam in the slot unless he's covering the tight end.
I don't want Gervin in the slot neither. I'm just thinking of the best option.
But what I just gave you didn't put Gervin out there. I said Tay in the slot.
Yeah, I'd rather Cam to roam the back of that field, because if the ball is in the air, Cam won't go get it.
Right. I think that's his spot. Like I said, he reminds me a lot. Early on, we'll see how he develops. He reminds me a lot of Jaquan. So I think he's a guy that, again, like with Jaquan, it was hard work, heady guy. And Jaquan's still in the league. Jaquan's not the most athletically gifted kid.
He had a pick 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep. But I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. He's smart. He's smart and he's athletic enough.
Do y'all want to get this over Bolden?
Be honest with you, as the ex-president of the Bubba Bolden fan club, I'm rolling. I'll put Cam out there, man. I'm so sick of Bubba missing tackles. I just had enough. So for me,
he's not making no plays on the ball neither.
Right, and that was one of the things I liked about him a lot, and I haven't seen it. So, you know, if you ask me to make the vote, sad as it is for me to say, after I had to resign from my post as the president,
I was on that train too. I don't think any of our DBs have had a pick in 2 years besides Williams in that Central Connecticut game. I don't think any of our DBs have had – I don't want to count a little deflection pick. I don't think any of our DBs have had a pick in 2 years.
And I don't care how you get it. But the play that'll be made, make the play. That's my thing.
Agreed.
And you know who was in the position to make the plays in the Virginia game? The young kids. They was in position. They just didn't make it. But I'd rather give them another chance because at least they were in position. I'd much rather give them another chance. Let's move to practice. X got a chance to peep things out. I'll let him expound on what he did get to see. The main thing I kind of want to bring up, and then I'll let you kind of roll from there. Supposedly, Pope, Wiggins, and Brooks were all not there. That raised a little bit of a flag to me. What do you make of that?
I wouldn't say it raised a flag. I mean, them the three names, obviously. Pope and Wiggins, especially playing time have dramatically decreased. So that was going to be something. Brooks, obviously, you know, I guess he came to Twitter and gave the peace sign, and everybody figured he was gone already. So it's not a surprise to me, not a red flag. It's certain players who are very unhappy, and those are three of them.
Well, two of those I could care less about them being unhappy or not, because they play on the field. I could care. I mean, I'm not trying to.
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Two out of those three, I could care less about them being in their feelings. I mean, two of them has led the ACC in drops the last 100 years. But the Brooks thing, I get. Brooks should be on the field. I get that. I'm not with the going. He has, but hurt or not, he shouldn't hurt. I get that. He's been hurt, but the way our linebacker play is, I know he's not a middle linebacker, but I'll put him there before I put Bradley Jennings. And these players see that. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with the whole going to social media thing, because a lot of teams won't tolerate that, going to social media and stuff. But the Pope and Wiggins being mad about their playing time, whoop-de-doo.
Bro.
I love my Canes, but it's a business. Whoop-de-doo, this ain't high school.
Bro, I'm going to tell you exactly. And it's funny you say that, because I remember previous to the season, I remember previously saying, hey, man, I'm not even trying to, like, pile on those kids or nothing like that. But I just look at it like, why won't they just go ahead and transfer? I think a fresh start would be great for them. I was like, man, why don't y'all just go to Utah State with Ephraim?
I think Polk could ball at UCF, maybe.
Go out there with Banda to Utah for 1 year. You probably can beat they talent at wide receiver and get a clear head and start over. And people told me, oh, they good. And I understood why they said they were good, not meaning that they were good players, meaning they were secure. And then that was one of the biggest surprises that I've seen this year is, oh, no, they aren't secure. And they starting to fall deeper and deeper down the depth chart. So I was like, see, I was trying to tell y'all, like, I'm not wishing them ill. I think a fresh start. Because, okay, Pope and Wiggins, what's their biggest problem? Dropping balls. You know what that is, man? It's a mental thing. That's you getting too inside of your head. So I thought a fresh start could be the perfect thing for them to get the game back together. So I actually feel bad that they came back. Because now what I thought was going to happen or hoped would happen, and not hoping because I didn't wish them well. I just was like, look, bro, y'all ain't been getting it done. Y'all had every opportunity to get it done. Time to move on, man. It's just true. They could have made themselves a fresh start.
I don't want Pope and Wiggins to look down on Miami. I don't know everything that's going on in the building and everything like that. I don't want Pope and Wiggins to look down at Miami because – Miami has given them every ample opportunity there is. What I think did Pope in was the spring game. I think Pope had over 100 yards in the spring game, but there was a sideline catch. Van Dyke put on the money. He's wide open. He just blatantly dropped. I think after that, besides his stats, I think the coaches were done after that. Like, it's a spring game, and you're doing that. I think that's what really did Pope in. They were giving him another chance. That's what did him in. I think Pope is better than Wiggins in all aspects, low-key. Maybe not speed-wise, but speed only gets you so far. But I just don't want them looking down at Miami like, oh, Miami did this to us. I don't think it's that. Because they gave y'all every opportunity there is. Like, even as fans, we were mad that they would even be on the field. Pope and Wiggins, low-key, they didn't lose us the Oklahoma State game, but those two players catching those big two balls, like, Wiggins caught – there was a screen pass. Wiggins would have walked in.
He didn't lose us that game.
They didn't. The hell they didn't.
Did. Yeah, I
no,
I
but we were down 21-0, so I don't want to put that on the players. But at the same time, in clutch moments, you're upperclassmen.
Big-time players, bro.
Right, and Wiggins drops the screen. Everybody saw the block, and he could have walked in. And Pope on the sideline from the cozy, like that would have put us in field goal position and win the game. Like it drops. Like I don't want them to put that on Miami. It's easy for like young boys to put that on the school, but we've given y'all ample opportunities. Right, I agree. What you think, X?
Move right along, man. We not gonna get it to
yeah. That's right, I like along. Where you had. Let's get in the I move like right where along. You had, bro. We running a little long today, man. We almost
practice. I mean, you want me to go?
Give us a little bit of the practice breakdown.
Today, man, I went to practice and I'm gonna say from the media. I'm not even gonna talk about as a, for being a fan. Practice was not good today, not in me. No excitement, no intensity on the field. Just looked like they just was out there going through the motion. Like, yeah, okay, let's just, you know, it's another day. Wasn't a good look for me, you know. But then again, they only gave us 20 minutes to watch practice. So other than that, man, I was not happy with what I saw out there. I did see Avante Williams running, and I tweeted that he looks fast. And I'm like, man, the guy really looks like he really fast out there. I can't wait to see him on the field. I can't wait to get on the field, man, and perform. The quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, again, throwing the ball to the receivers, man. But just didn't look like nobody was excited to be out there.
And we talked about this earlier. Do you think it's because young boys taking the older players' positions or more competitiveness in practice.
I mean, that should excite you right there. Like, oh man, this nigga's trying to take my position. That's exciting, man. All right, I'm finna come whoop you. You know what I'm saying? I ain't finna just let you take my position. But
and like we said before the show started, a lot of that is on Diaz since he's been there playing upperclassmen, and now the younger boys are coming in, the upperclassmen are like, wait, what's this all about and everything. So I feel like Diaz has a lot to do with that as well, setting that tone that the younger boys are going to play regardless if you mess up 100 times in 3 weeks, you're still going to play. But I still think Diaz is doing that because his job on the line.
The young guys ain't they really want to be on the field, man, because they want to make something happen. You
know they should be on the field. I'd rather young boys make the same. I'd rather the young boys make a mistake than our fourth year seniors or fifth year seniors making a mistake. Right, six year. I'd rather the young boys make that mistake than the same players we've been seeing make the same mistakes for the past 5-6 years.
Right. Well, that being what it is, you know, we'll see. You know, the fight. I knew the fight could be a good or a bad thing. So we'll see what happens this week. We play UNC.
Yeah, unfortunately, we play we're gonna play an angry Carolina team because they just lost.
Yeah, second year in a row.
We're gonna play an angry. They gonna come out there, man, and
Chapel Hill.
Sam Howell gonna be 35 for 36 with 700 yards passing and 10 touchdowns, and I don't know, man. But now the one thing I would say, man, is after watching the highlights from the North Carolina Florida State game, North Carolina looked bad. They look slow, like their defense looks slow.
What? It's not the team we lost to. I will say that. This is the weird thing about Carolina. They about as schizophrenic as us. When North Carolina wins, they bust ass. They put up a ton of points. But their defense is pretty bad. They don't have Chaz Surratt out there help kind of, you know, lead the ship. The running game doesn't have those two backs. You know, they have 2,000-yard backs out of NFL guys now. So they're missing.
They don't have those wideouts, Newsome and the other boy.
So they.
What's hurting them a lot is their offensive line.
Sound like us.
I honestly think. I didn't take
Sam,
too much.
Sam got to run for his life, and that's not his game. Sam is not a running quarterback. He's trying to get back and throw that thing.
He led them in rushing, which is a problem. But I think. I didn't take too much from that North Carolina Florida State game because North Carolina hasn't beaten Florida State and. Forever. 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Florida State beat North Carolina last year, and I don't think Florida State won a game after that. So I don't take too much from that game. I think it's football. We all know football. Certain teams have some teams' numbers, and that's just how the game go at times. So I didn't take too much from that. Oh, Florida State starting to come into their own. They starting to win games now. I think the Syracuse game might have helped them a little bit, but I don't take too much from that. North Carolina, Florida State game, because that's just how the game go at times. Certain teams have each other's numbers.
Right, which is why, despite, you know, I've done the stat stuff more in the other games. I'm not statting us to death. I know Measy got some if you want to share it, but bottom line is.
I'm not even going to share it because it don't matter.
Right, exactly.
But I will say North Carolina defense is god-awful. They are hundreds
as everything. As was Virginia's.
Right, there are hundreds and everything. So
we
not going.
Was 100 something, and they came.
Right,
in
so we're not going to speak on that. Yeah, right. Like L said, we don't even got to speak on that.
Yeah, like we're not going to stats all to death. I'll tell you just like this, just like he was just saying, Florida State kind of got their number somehow. North Carolina is definitely. I've been saying it for years, and people look at me like I grew another head. I'm like, well, you got to think about it. We really only have one natural rival, right? That's Florida State. Florida isn't really a rival because we don't get to play them annually. They're a rival in the recruiting, you know, recruiting field. But on the football field, they're not a rival of ours because we just don't get to play them often enough. So I'm like, we need to start looking at UNC as that natural rival at this point.
It has to be.
Well, the record is like damn near. I think we up maybe two games. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think if you look at the total record, we're like up two games in this whole series.
Right. And so, the last seven games, the last six games, it might be even.
So, yeah, whatever it is, it's close.
So, they got North Carolina as minus seven right now.
It's minus seven now.
That's which I feel like during that game time, it might be 7.5, 8. You know what I'm saying? If you follow betting, you know how the odd makers are. It's minus seven right now.
Yeah. Depending on how people start hammering that
which is a lot. I feel like that's still a lot of points.
For the way we playing, hell yeah.
With the way we playing, right. I feel like that's a lot of points.
And Manny coming off a bye. You know that.
And we know how them buys go.
Yeah,
I saw Manny say, I'm so tired of Manny talking, but I saw Manny say, oh, this past bye week, we got a little bit more focus. And I was like, make that plus 14. He said that. Manny has not won when he's had more than 1 week to prepare. We have not won a game with Manny.
Which I think he won one.
No.
I think he's 1-5.
Yeah, he won one. The first game of last season, right?
Something. He won one.
See, I ain't want to count the UAB game. All right, he's 1-5.
Either way, it's one. I mean, that ain't great.
1-5. So,
especially because you got to remember, it's not like both teams get a bye. When he get a bye, North Carolina ain't got no bye. North Carolina coming off Florida State week. So, it's not like all things being equal. A lot of times, we coming off the bye. These teams ain't coming off no damn bye.
I don't want to take too long on this real quick. I'm just asking.
Go ahead.
I'm just asking. Why? For the people. I don't understand when you have more than 1 week to prepare for a game, and we all Miami fans, the world, we all Miami fans, we look god awful coming off of bye weeks. Why is that? We look god awful. Like the first quarter and them bye weeks be 21-0 and after bye weeks. Why is that?
I mean,
I know it has to do with coaching and stuff, but
that's a question I don't think no fan can answer, no media can answer.
I just want y'all opinions, though.
You gotta ask the coach. Like,
I just want y'all opinions. I just want y'all opinions. Why?
Okay, I'm gonna give you mine right now.
Just opinions, yeah.
He's not that good of a coach, and I'll tell you why. I said this is one of the things you hear Manny repeatedly say. They gave us a different look than what we've seen all year, right? You constantly hear him say that, you know. We studied the film. Right. Okay, I get you, bro. You're right. That's all you could go on is the film. But you got to also remember, one thing Miami does constantly have is speed. So teams are going to try some different things with us because they know they got to fight our speed. And he's never ready to adjust. So the extra time doesn't matter. You give me a 40 days to prepare for this game. Because when a team comes and gives him something he wasn't expecting, boom, whole thing blows up. He constantly says that. You can check that in all of the
till halftime to adjust, and sometimes it's too late.
If he does that, if we get that, you know, he also came out this week and said that all the games are going to be close. So, okay, that means you damn near concede and defeat. Damn,
it's
near.
Crazy the stuff he be saying. I hate when these coaches talk to the people like we don't watch football, like. They say the damnest things. Like, why do you think you can say that? Like, he says the craziest stuff at these press conferences. I don't even watch him anymore.
Gotta say something. Yeah, I don't be listening either.
I don't watch him anymore.
If you hear me quote Manny, it's because it made it like maybe to a private chat, but I don't watch none of that shit no more. He sound like me. Like, you know, people say he listen to me and then go say the shit. I don't coach the team, though.
I was dead done when he said we need to tackle. We are okay tackling. And T-Rock came in 30 minutes later at a press conference saying, oh, yeah, we definitely need to tackle more. I was like, that's when I knew T-Rock was getting, he has a chokehold on him. I mean, you are who your D coordinator is. It is what it is. T-Rob said we was going to play a lot of press man this year. We not seeing that. He don't make the calls, though.
Oh, we definitely playing a lot of press, man. That's why we keep getting beat.
I feel like after the first game and a half, we haven't been playing a lot of press, man. My opinion. I don't know, man.
We playing press, man. This after Michigan State game, teams weren't going. They not going deep on us. Now they just dragging us throughout the whole field.
Pitch and catch. They doing pitch and catch.
Yeah, because hey, your D line not getting no pressure. Your linebackers can't tackle. Your safeties, your DBs can't tackle. So.
Speaking of D line, real quick, I don't want to keep harping on stuff. You know, I could talk for days. Speaking of D line, I don't like how Leonard Taylor basically fell back on the depth chart some.
What you mean fell back on the depth chart?
So if you look at the depth chart for the upcoming game.
Oh, man, look, don't pay attention to the depth chart, man. The depth chart means absolutely nothing.
I feel like with the players, it means something like energy wise, mental wise, like I feel like it does, though. That's my opinion. I feel like it does. Like, Leonard Taylor had, like, one of the best. They showed against the Virginia game. He had one of the best interior D-line games in college football that week. And he's not even on the 2D. He's back to third. That has to get in them boys' heads.
Yeah, part of it could be making them stay hungry. I mean,
hungry for what at this point, man? Like, he's
in the rotation right now. That's all that matters.
That's all that really matters. First off, I already said, I tweeted this. Manny just copy and paste the depth chart and change the opponent name. So who gives a shit what that depth chart say?
But he thinks that safety, though.
One time. James Williams that probably was a typo. He probably ain't even mean to do that shit.
I mean, the crazy thing is, James Williams was supposed to start last Virginia game, but who ended up starting? 26.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, and he was on depth chart.
Depth chart means nothing. Like, don't pay attention to it. Like,
that's just something to put out.
You see James Williams on the field a lot more right now, right?
Right. Way. Yeah.
You see Romelo.
I see zero out there.
You see Romelo on the field, right?
Both zero.
So, Leonard Taylor played. Look. Them guys are in rotation. That's all that matters.
And I kind of get that from his perspective.
That's how all these games, man.
But I mean, at the same time, possibly, or, you know, other coaches won't give you injury information. Bill Belichick is famous for that shit. One of the best coaches ever in the game. I mean, to me, it's like, who fucking cares what my depth chart is? It's who the fuck I put out there when we start playing the games. When I start playing, there's him. And if I take him out, it's the next guy. So it really don't matter. Like, that's what'll matter to me is the snaps Leonard gets in the game. I expect his snap count to go up. I think his snap count should be somewhere in the 20 to 25 range this week. That's my opinion. If it doesn't, then yeah, I think he's making a mistake. So I'll tell you what, man. We run a little bit long. Like I said, I wasn't going to stat y'all to death because the stats haven't meant anything. If you look at the stats and you look at the Vegas spread, which is – I'm super shocked we are favored in this game. I don't get it. And
I'm not shocked. Vegas knows the talent.
They usually know something. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but they know the talent we have on our – Miami might be the easiest team to bet on. They keep looking at all this talent. I feel like Vegas looks at the talent like, oh, it has to be this week. It has to be this week. If you bet against Miami – this year, you'll probably be up 2 bands.
Yeah, I was about to say, you'd be up a lot, probably. Yeah, I don't know if
you'll be up, man. They just see all that talent and be like, oh, it might be this week. They might spark or something. I think that's what it is.
Well, I think with UNC, you're seeing, again, they're kind of our mirror image in the fact that they're schizophrenic. So it just depends on what UNC we get. The UNC that wins scores 50 points a game. UNC that loses, it's scoring closer to like 25 or something like that. But we ain't scoring 30. So
can't score that.
Right. So who are we to say we're going to win?
Y'all think we hit 30 this week? Go ahead, Al.
No, I was about to say, because I'm going to get us up out of here. So I actually got to skate. But let's do some predictions. I'm going to do score predictions. I'm going to stick to my guns. I think we lose this game. Sorry, fans, listening. I done gave y'all positivity. I told you if we lost Virginia, I was done with that shit.
We got to keep it real.
Made me eat humble pie. I got us losing this game. I think Carolina scores 50 again because when they win, they score 50.
Oh, God damn.
Oh, yeah. I think they run it up, bro. I got I got Carolina 55, Miami. Hey, we'll score 55-30. It's going to be our first 30-point game.
I got.
What y'all got?
I got North Carolina. Yeah,
38-21.
Okay.
I say 40, North Carolina 45, Miami 24.
As well.
Real quick, before we get off.
Go ahead.
Because I know the people want to hear this. Before we get off, so all these scores we just said, that's a blowout.
Mm-hmm. It'll be that next week. Don't worry about it.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. And we play North Carolina State next week, right?
Uh-huh.
So he make it. So we'll be 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
So does he make it next week? I predict
his firing at 2-6. Because what people don't know on the low,
why Pitt does got it the have to be one, that guy? Done.
Pitt got the number one scoring offense in the ACC.
We're not beating Pitt.
Yeah, they do.
And so, we got to go to Pittsburgh too.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Quiet is kept. If we win two of the next three games,
we 500. Oh,
if he makes 2 out of 3, he saves his job. I don't think that happens.
Saves.
Yes, sir.
Oh my God.
Because for him, that's a very tough 3 games. You're talking about the number one scoring offense. You're talking about Pitt. Right now, North Carolina State, I think, is 22 or 23. And a UNC team that we know can score when they're hitting on all cylinders. We're talking about a possible first-round quarterback. So, yeah, for him to pull 2 out of 3 would be impressive. At this point, it would be very impressive. I don't see that happening. I got him 0-3, and I got him out of there at 2-6.
See, I don't call that impressive because North Carolina is 500 right now.
Yeah, but they can score, and we can't. So it's impressive only because how bad – lift your head, brother. Don't fall down.
Man. Yeah, I know.
It's only impressive based on what we've been producing. I'm not saying they're an impressive team. I'm saying we ain't impressive either.
Yeah, we don't look like much of anything right now.
Right. What are we good at? Tell me what we're good at.
Punting the ball.
Punting.
That's it.
I used to say kicking. I can't even say that.
No, really, we are good at point. We're not even. I don't even want to say average at anything else, man. Like,
nope, we're not.
That's not.
It's not even whether you want to say it or not. The truth is, we are good at punting. That's it. So I am not until I see better. Nah, North Carolina ass whooping, but I think he keeps his job. And it would literally have to be like last year, like 62. 26.
No, those scores we just said, I think he done.
I don't think so. But again, I think he'll end up dropping these next 3, and then that's when I think it happens. Then I think we'll go interim coach, kids will get energized, and we'll clean up the last 4 games. Georgia Tech, FSU,
yeah, we not. Virginia I think we're gonna Tech, lose to Georgia Tech too,
and Duke, and go 6-6 in the season where our bottom was 10. According to most people. So either way, it's a terrible season. Either way. But anyways, man, we thank y'all for tuning in with us. Happy to come bring y'all more content. Hit us up. You got the email, you got the phone number. Check the bio on the Twitter. You want to reach out to us like that at all?
Man, y'all shout us out, man. We got next, man. Y'all shout us out, man. 3 good.
And we're going to be here.
Right, man.
We're going to be here, man.
Thick and thin. Every week, the other show might not be out.
Yeah, we're gonna pull something off. We'll figure it out. Oh, and also check out if y'all not signed up for the Patreon over on the Roll Up. Got that coming. Hopefully things work out this week. We're gonna actually have Meezy take my spot this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on No Cap Sunday.
Yeah, No Cap Sunday. So he gonna get to kick it this week. I'm gonna take the back seat. I'll probably call in, but I'm gonna let my boy rock out and handle that this week. So. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be back at y'all next week for sure. Happy birthday again to X, man. X, teared up.
Thank you, man. Look, I'm about
yeah, y'all shot my boy out, man.
He ready to start now. I can tell.
Yes! The XO. Yeah.
No doubt, man. Hey, shout out to y'all, man. Keep rocking with us, man. We're going to keep rocking with y'all, man. Till next time. One.
Man, y'all be easy, man.